case of the day, Zachary versus Finnan, 10-2516. Mr. Bramwell.
You may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. Jerry Bramwell for the petitioner appellant Matthew Zachary. May it please the court. Your Honors, we're here today about a statement that the state secured from Mr. Zachary in violation of his Miranda rights and used that statement to devastating effect at trial. Mr. Zachary's videotaped statement was fraught with internal tension. There were significant internal inconsistencies in it. And without that statement, the state is left with a case where a man stabs his best friend late at night, calls 911, waits for the police to arrive, leaves the weapon in the sink, and then tells the first on scene police officer, Mike Williams, that he thought Mr. Harmon, his friend, was attacking his mother. Your Honors, this is not the conduct of a murderer. This is not the conduct of someone who has engaged in intentional homicide. This is the conduct of somebody who has engaged in defense of his mother or at worst, manslaughter. The state itself, in Mr. Martin's brief, concedes the importance of the videotaped statement, recognizing that that it was different than Ms. Scruggins, who was the only other person on the scene, the only other witness to this argument, and recognize that this tape caused a real problem from the defense perspective. And the Indiana Court of Appeals also recognized that the tape was a key difference between murder and manslaughter. One of Mr. Zachary's arguments before the Indiana Court of Appeals, obviously, was that the evidence was not sufficient for murder, that it was, if any crime, it was manslaughter. Indiana Court of Appeals looked at that tape and said, looked at the statements in that tape and said, no, that's not right. Your Honors, if there was a case where somebody was too intoxicated to knowingly, intelligently, and voluntarily waive his Miranda rights, it is this case. The first words, the facts show that Mr. Zachary was too intoxicated, and the police knew this. The first words out of Detective Copeland's mouth, this is the officer who interrogated Mr. Zachary, were, you need to get woke up. Hi, you Matt? Yeah. You need to get woke up a bit. Mr. Zachary could not follow very simple instructions with respect to providing verbal answers to the Miranda warnings. He could not.
Well, that's kind of common, though, isn't it? Doesn't it happen to you with clients where you see you've got to answer aloud? You know, people tend to nod their head or shake their head. That's not really that unusual.
Well, in and of itself, maybe one reminder.
Does that work for you that they get it the first time?
Often it does, but in rapid succession, and the fact that it took him three times, and the last time he didn't even. Anyway,
the state court had before it the videotape itself of the interview session, right?
The trial court did. The Indiana Court of Appeals resolved this on the transcript. The transcript also shows that. That Mr. Zachary cannot articulate a coherent story about the events of that night at all. He, for example, could not articulate the purpose of the attack. You know, on one hand, he says that Mr. Harmon was trying to strangle his mom and screaming obscenities, and then a few minutes later, he's saying that Mr. Harmon's trying to rape his mom. These are two totally different types of attacks. He can't tell where Mr. Harmon is before the attack. And in one account, Mr. Zachary says that he came home to hear his mom screaming in the kitchen, Matt, Matt, help me, Matt. And then a later account, it appears that Mr. Harmon had come over with anywhere between 10 and 30 Xanax tablets, and that somehow the attack occurred after that, so suggesting Mr. Zachary was already home. He can't tell what his mom said before, during, or after the attack. He can't, in one version, mom is screaming, help me, Matt, help me. In the next version, mom is saying, Mom's unconscious. Well, if she's unconscious, she's not screaming, help me. He can't articulate the physics of the attack, the actual logistics of the attack. There are inconsistencies there. I mean, the bottom line is this man was too intoxicated to truly understand what to truly articulate a coherent version of events. This is not somebody then that can understand his Miranda rights and the consequences of waiving those rights. As this court has explained in Rice v. Cooper, it's not enough that the police give a suspect a standard form Miranda waiver, check the boxes, have him sign it, and expect that to be okay. The Supreme Court's also said that this it's not one of form, but one of whether the suspect actually understood his rights. The record shows here, Your Honors, that Mr. Zachary could not understand them. I understand that AEDPA requires a highly deferential standard of review, particularly on questions of fact. But deferential review does not mean no review. Deferential review, deference does not, by definition, preclude relief. The Supreme Court, and this is Miller v. Dredke, specifically has held that this court can take a look at the actual transcripts and determine that the facts are clearly and convincingly to the contrary of what the Indiana Court of Appeals stated. Now, the Indiana Court of Appeals gave three reasons for affirming the admissibility of Mr. Zachary's statement. He says the interrogating officer indicated that he believed exactly what Mr. Zachary was there for. The second reason was that Zachary allegedly said he understood his Miranda rights. And the third is that the transcript indicates that Mr. Zachary was aware of what was happening and was responsive to Detective Copeland's questions and spoke coherently. Your Honors, the record completely contradicts this account. With respect to Mr. Zachary being aware of what happened, Mr. Zachary couldn't articulate the purpose. He had an incredibly difficult time. With the respect to the interrogating officer believing that Mr. Zachary understood what he was there for, Your Honors, the interrogating officer couldn't offer a simple, very simple opinion as to whether Mr. Zachary was intoxicated or not. He danced around that issue for several pages. The trial court had to get involved twice and say, officer, was he intoxicated? If he can't offer a simple opinion there, how can he, after the fact, say that, he understood? With respect to the indication that he understood his Miranda rights, I don't think the record is so clear, Your Honors. The record shows that Mr. Zachary, after the five questions, not answering the last one, said, Your Honors, I'm not admitting to any guilt here. No, Mr. Zachary, you're not admitting to guilt. We just need to know what happened. Help us out here. And then Mr. Zachary spills his guts, giving this just absolutely self-contradictory statement. Your Honors, he was only technically responsive to the detective's questions. Could not follow instructions, could not articulate a coherent version of events. The record here shows that he was, clearly and convincingly shows he was not able to voluntarily waive his rights, and the police engaged in some coercive activity. If the panel has no more questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
All right, thank you, Mr. Bramwell. Martin.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. This court should affirm the district court because the Indiana Court of Appeals did reasonably adjudicate Mr. Zachary's claim that he didn't validly waive his Miranda rights. As this court is aware, a claim that rights have been invalidly waived requires a showing of coercive activity by the police. There is no showing of coercive activity in this case. And I note that Mr. Zachary has alluded to this court's opinion in Rice v. Cooper, talking about instances where a person's lack of capacity may factor into that situation. And I believe that that opinion kind of reflected on circumstances that might be troubling using the standard of review, and alluded to perhaps a small child or someone that didn't speak English that was offered their Miranda warnings and then offered a waiver. And it couldn't be said that those persons didn't understand what was being communicated to them before they waived their rights. In this instance, Mr. Zachary is not of that character. Mr. Zachary has numerous prior contacts with law enforcement. And unless the court prefers that I enumerate, I'll just direct you to the Indiana Court of Appeals decision on direct appeal, where it discusses the sentencing issues and basically details Mr. Zachary's long historic contact with police and authorities.
At the time of this interview, well, 2 hours after the interview, measures 0.28 blood alcohol content.
It's 0.29, Your Honor.
0.29. That's pretty steep.
It is steep. And nowhere in this process has anyone tried to hide the fact that he was intoxicated in defending this waiver. He was intoxicated. Everyone at that scene was intoxicated. But
except
what
the
this
cops.
Shows, I'm sorry, Your
except
Honor.
The cops.
We hope that's true, Your Honor. I will represent that in good faith. With Mr. Zachary, this was an individual who knew that there were two people that could tell the story of what happened that resulted in Mr. Harmon's death. One was him and one was his mom. And Mr. Zachary wanted to make sure that the account that got to the authorities first was his. And I think everything about his statement supports that interpretation of what he was trying to do. He wanted to get his self-defense story out there. And I'm not suggesting to the court that he was wise to do so in this fashion, but to validly waive your rights, that kind of good judgment, I guess, is not constitutionally required. He unquestionably understood what the purpose of the interview was, and I apologize to the court because I think this is kind of, well, it's very telling, and I didn't point to this specifically in the record, but in the statement that was videotaped and was played to the jury. At the end of that statement, there's a segment where Mr. Zachary is in communication with his mother, and this portion is on the tape. And Mr. Zachary tells his mother, Mom, don't answer nothing, all right? And you'll find that at 419 of the transcript. And then he says to the police officer, I don't want her to give no statements, because she knows what happened, and I know what happened, and she was drunk and on drugs, too. Now, this is stuff that the jury heard. Now, in the transcript of the statement that the trial court was presented with at the motion to suppress hearing, Mr. Zachary goes even further, and he says, and this is at the page 31 of that transcript in the volume of exhibits in the state court record, he says, Mom, don't answer any questions without a lawyer, okay? Mom, don't answer no questions without a lawyer. It's unconstitutional. I don't think that this is a man who didn't know what the purpose of the interrogation was, what his constitutional rights were, or that he was able to voluntarily waive them. So the content of the statement itself shows that he had the presence of mind, albeit when he was extremely intoxicated. That, in the absence of any police coercion that can be found on the record in this case, offering him coffee and saying, we'd like to know what happened here, is hardly coercion. This was a valid waiver, and the Indiana Court of Appeals was certainly reasonable in concluding that that was the case. So we'd ask the court to affirm the district court, unless there are more questions, Your Honor.
No further questions. Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Thank you.
Mr. Bramwell, do you have a reply?
Your Honors, no lack of police coercion. The very first words out of this, out of Detective Copeland's mouth were, you need to get woke up. They pumped him full of coffee, three cups during an hour interview.
Delivering coffee is coercion?
Delivering coffee in and of itself is not necessarily coercion, but coercion is taking a man that's significantly intoxicated.
Theoretically, that's how you sober people up. You give them coffee, and then you got a wide awake drunk. But
exactly. You've got a wide awake drunk.
Yeah, but the jury saw the camera of what he was saying when he was supposed to be too drunk to say anything. Just academically. I can understand what you're saying.
Exactly.
And as a drinking man, I sympathize with your position. But
the jury seeing this man in his inebriated state, it's like having him drunk in the courtroom, Your Honors. The fact is that the police took a man that was drunk, was tired, that needed to get woke up, and rather than let him sleep it off, they pumped him full of coffee and had him spill his guts.
All right.
Are there any further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Bramwell. And on behalf of the court, thank you not only to you but to your firm for accepting appointment in the case and representing Mr. Zachary in the highest tradition of the bar.
Thank you.
Here.